think that we can get much higher than this.
You are listening to Can't Get Much Higher, a podcast and newsletter chronicling the intersection of music and data. My name is Christopher Dallariva, and I am your host. To quote my friend Amanda, as the story goes, my parents couldn't pick a name. Then the Boston song Amanda came on at a party, and they agreed upon it. The fateful party that determined my friend Amanda's name occurred in 1995, 9 years after Boston's song topped the charts during the height of the name's popularity for newborn girls in the United States. This popularity was not driven by an MTV-era hit, though. By the time Boston's Tom Scholz set the name to music, it had been one of the top 10 newborn girls' names for almost a decade. Nevertheless, the actions of my friend's parents got me thinking. Do people frequently name their children after popular songs and artists? Today, we're going to explore that question. When thinking about trends in baby names, there are a few things that you have to know. First, the number of births in the United States increased dramatically during the 20th century. In 1900, there were 479,000 registered births with the Social Security Administration. In 2022, there were 3.6 million. Secondly, parents have gotten more experimental with names over the last 150 years, meaning the most popular names now account for a smaller share of newborn names than ever before. More specifically, in 1900, 69% of male babies had one of the top 100 names. In that same year, for women, it was 64%. But jump forward to 2022, only 35% of newborn males have a top 100 name, and for women, it's 28%. That brings up another important point. There's always been more experimentation with newborn girl names than newborn boy names. Finally, when names have gone from one gender to another in the last century, they typically drift from male to female rather than the other direction. Leslie proves a good example of this. The name started out as a handedly male name in the beginning of the 20th century. Then when newborn females named Leslie began to surge between the 1940s and 1960s, the name quickly lost favor among newborn boys. Though understanding these trends generally falls outside the scope of this piece, it is worth thinking about for a moment. During the era of less naming experimentation, namely the early 1900s, American society was both more patriarchal and religious. Because of this, names, especially for boys, were often passed down over generations. Many of those names were of Judeo-Christian origin. As society has become less patriarchal and religious, we've seen naming experimentation increase. But why have we always seen more experimentation among names for girls? Furthermore, why does the usage of a name for girls discourage parents from using it for boys? It comes back to some of the same reasons. In a patrilineal society, last names are inherited from men. First name inheritance shows a similar trend. In terms of religion, there are just fewer female names to choose from. A 2003 paper by Matthew Hahn and R. Alexander Bentley noted that, quote, only about 6% of all names in Judeo-Christian scriptures are female. End quote. Additionally, there seems to be fear among parents that giving their son a feminine name could hurt them socially. Abby Sandel, the woman behind the baby name blog Appalachian Mountain, described this to the Huff Post in 2022. Quote, parents will sheepishly admit that they worry about boys being teased for having an unconventional name. End quote. Thus, parents won't choose a name for their son that is becoming associated with girls or a name that might become associated with girls. Now that we're experts in the history of naming conventions in America, what can we learn about how popular music has influenced newborn names? I've noticed four noteworthy trends. I'm going to call them past preference for presidents over pop stars, the Sharona-Aaliyah divide, the Whitney Houston gender transition, and the classic rock nostalgia industrial complex. First, past preference for presidents over pop stars. Though there was less naming experimentation in the early part of the 20th century, parents were still influenced by famous people when naming their newborns. Take the name Roosevelt as an example. From 1890 to 1899, there were 57 newborn boys named Roosevelt. From 1900 to 1909, that number jumped up to 1,790. In fact, between 1903 and 1905, it was one of the top 100 most popular names for boys. What caused the name's popularity to increase around the turn of the century? Teddy Roosevelt was elected president in the United States. That name would stick around for a good while. In fact, the name saw its biggest spike in usage in 1933, when Franklin Roosevelt, Teddy's cousin, became president. Are there musicians or songs that inspired Roosevelt-like naming trends in the early 1900s? None that I can find. Bing Crosby was the biggest musical star of the first half of the 20th century. At the height of his fame, between 1930 and 1949, there were only 184 newborn boys named Bing in the United States. It would take a few decades before music and musicians influenced newborn name selection.
You got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative.
Now, we're going to talk about what I've dubbed the Sharona-Aaliyah divide. In 1979, the Knacks scored a massive hit with My Sharona. Between its release and 1981, there was a notable spike in newborn girls given that titular name. Nevertheless, there are two things to note here. Primarily, this spike had no long-lasting effect, meaning that it occurred in the year and the year after the song came out, and then the name was never really used again. But secondly, as a percentage of total births even during this spike, it was vanishingly small. In fact, at the height of its usage, there were only about 65 newborn girls given this name. So songs can affect naming conventions, but those effects are often small and short-lived. We see a similar trend with popular artists. When Aretha Franklin was making a huge impact on the pop charts in the late 1960s and early 1970s, her name saw a surge in popularity.
You make me feel like a natural woman.
It wasn't to last, though. Beyond about 550 newborn girls being named Aretha in the early 1970s, the name was almost never used by 1980. Other popular artists like Madonna, Cher, and Garth Brooks caused similar short-term naming shifts. Nevertheless, there were some artists who left a longer-lasting impact. Take R&B singer Aaliyah as an example. Up until 1993, there were never more than 46 newborn girls named Aaliyah in a single year. Then, in 1994, the singer Aaliyah released her debut album, Age Ain't Nothing But a Number. Nearly overnight, the name went from a top 5,000 name for newborn girls to a top 200 name. By the time the R&B singer tragically died in 2001, it had become a top 100 name for newborn girls. Its popularity has not abated since. I won't claim that the name's continued popularity is purely due to the singer. Parents do like to choose names of some level of popularity, so after a certain point, its longevity unmoors itself from its musical origins. Nevertheless, the R&B singer did give it its initial jolt. We see similar trends with names like Mariah and Elvis.
I don't want to be a tiger, 'cause tigers play too rough.
Now, let's turn to the Whitney Houston gender transition. Whitney was used as a men's name for decades before the Social Security Administration has any evidence of it being given to a woman. In fact, its popularity among men was growing throughout the 1970s. Then Whitney Houston happened.
So I'm saving all my love for you.
Whitney Houston was named after Whitney Blake, the actress who allegedly brought some femininity to the name in the early 1960s. Blake's celebrity didn't drive boy moms and boy dads completely away from her name, though. It was the New Jersey-born mezzo-soprano who did that. When Whitney Houston's self-titled debut album was a smash in 1985, her first name became cemented as a woman's name. Finally, we'll turn to our last topic, the classic rock nostalgia industrial complex. As naming has gotten more experimental in the 2000s, we've seen parents mine the classic rock canon to give their child some musical flair. For example, Jagger was never used as the name during the height of the Rolling Stones stardom.
I met a gentle ballroom queen in Memphis.
Now it's frequently one of the top 700 or 800 most popular names for newborn boys. We've seen similar trends for names like Hendrix, Presley, and Lennon. The final name, the surname of John Lennon, presents an extra interesting case. The name's popularity first rose among newborn boys around the year 2000. In the last decade, it has surged among newborn girls. Given the aforementioned Whitney Houston gender transition, that shift will likely tank the name's popularity among newborn boys. So what does all this amount to? In short, though celebrities have always influenced baby naming conventions in America to varying degrees, musicians and songs did not have a noted effect until both the music industry matured and Americans began to get more creative with names in the latter part of the 20th century. Once that creativity emerged, the effect of musicians and songs on naming typically resulted in small, short-term bumps in popularity of certain names, more often among newborn girls than newborn boys. Occasionally, these effects were larger and more long-term. As always, we recommend a new song and an old song each week. This week's new song is called Let It Burn by Shaboozey. Born in 1995 to Nigerian parents in Northern Virginia, Collins Chibuzi, known by his stage name Shibuzi, integrates the sounds of his heritage and his upbringing throughout his music. On a song like Let It Burn, you can hear that vividly. You can hear the influence of Virginia country as he strums an acoustic guitar at the beginning of the song. You can hear the influence of the hip-hop of his youth in the lyrical flows of the second verse. Though the rhythms of this song bear more resemblance to 1970s and 1980s rock than anything else, you can often hear Afrobeat-inspired rhythms on many of his other songs. I took a look through the Social Security Administration's data, and there is no record of any American ever named Shibuzi. That makes sense. Shibuzi and his music are one of a kind.
I know he hurt you bad, but you won't come clean. They say time heals all, but the pain runs way too deep. You lied to yourself so much that you started to believe that love doesn't last, 'cause it's all you've ever seen. Grab the matches, start a fire, throw the memories in the flames, it's behind us. See the gold in the red, new horizons. Let it burn, let it burn. So run for the hills, baby, don't look back when you leave.
The old song this week takes us back to 1971. It's called Nathan Jones by The Supremes. Name a song released before 2000 that has a male name in the title. It's not an impossible task, but it's also not an easy one. There are just many more songs with female names in the title. While my research team and I were thinking about this, we came across Nathan Jones by The Supremes. Beyond the masculine title, this song is interesting for multiple reasons. Primarily, one of the songwriters is a woman, who is not a member of the performing group, a rarity at that time. Secondly, this was after Diana Ross left the Supremes. Thirdly, the song features all three members of the trio singing in unison, a rarity for a Supremes track.
Yeah.
And that's the show this week. Again, my name is Chris Dallariva. I am your host. You just listened to Can't Get Much Higher. As I always say, Can't Get Much Higher has a newsletter component along with being a podcast. If you're interested in the newsletter, just click the description on your podcast provider and there should be a link to it. Newsletter subscribers get additional content that is not available on the podcast. We'll be back next week with some more musical fun.